Since the beginning of lockdown, studies have shown stress levels have skyrocketed by as much as 50%. Did we really need studies to tell us that? Perhaps a lot of these concerns about health and safety, isolation, employment and income won't truly stop until the cure for COVID-19 is discovered. But my next guest is a Harley Street clinical hypnotherapist who's devised a simple yet effective routine to help reduce coronavirus-related anxiety and to improve overall mental well-being. And I presume we could do this at any anxious stage of our lives. Please join me in welcoming Gail Mara. Hello, Gail.
Hello, Jenny. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. I think we're all a bit frazzed at the moment. Now, I don't know whether you're into the more weirdy-beardy stuff of life, but I've been reading lots of posts on Facebook from the more spiritual people among us who say there's all sorts of things going on in the universe that are happening to us. And I don't know whether you feel that or whether you believe that sort of stuff.
Well, I'm more science-based. I love psychology and the workings of the mind, but I'm very open-minded. So in answer to that question, I believe that there is a global vibe of panic, of worry and fear. I believe as we are all walking, talking balls of energy, then, yeah, I believe that there's an energy that is a bit fearful and a bit worrisome at the moment. But there's so many ways in which you can control how you respond to what's going on. So rather than getting swept up in it, control and not being able to control what goes on around you, then certainly you can control how you respond, how you react, how you feel, how you think to what's going on, to reinstate that balance and calm within yourself.
Well, yes, actually, I can concur with that because a dear friend of mine a few weeks ago realised I was going through the mill, and he's made me stand in front of the mirror every single night with my clothes on, I hasten to add, because I know what my listeners are like. And now I'm just standing in front of the mirror and telling myself all of my own strengths and skills. And do you know what? It's starting to work. It's self-affirmation, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I love an affirmation. Affirmations are really important. However, the caveat that I would add is that we can talk the talk, but we have to walk the walk. So therefore, we can, standing in front of the mirror, by the way, is something that I love. But if you don't feel or believe in the words that you're speaking, then the affirmations fall on deaf ears, so to speak. So if you're feeling it and believing the words that you're speaking, they absolutely do change the frequency, change the vibration and change your way of thinking and behaving. I love that.
Can I just tell you, at first when I started it, he messaged me and said, how did you get on? And I said, I looked at myself in the mirror and I felt really sad because I didn't believe anything I was saying. Right. So he said, do it again. So I did it the next night and then the next night. And do you know what? I've started to believe it. The more you say it, the more you believe it.
I absolutely agree. You see, we're so wrapped up in our conscious thinking while we're awake. Of course we are. That's our voices. That's our inner communication, correspondence. But we don't very often look at our... When we look in the mirror, we rarely look at who's looking out from behind our eyes, if you like.
Yes.
We very rarely look in the mirror and say, right, how are you feeling? How are we doing today? What's happening here? You know, rather than looking in the mirror saying, well, there's something that needs to be plucked or picked or lifted or needs some makeup or something on, instead of picking holes and taking a moment to look at yourself and recognize who you are inside, or try and get in contact with who you are inside and have a conversation. If you're worried about who's listening outside the bathroom door, or if you happen to be looking into the mirror, then whisper or have a silent conversation. But we don't spend enough time, in my opinion, connecting with ourselves, because we live in this whirlwind, don't we? This whirlwind of life, and we get swept up and away with it, and we feel as though we're not in control, and we lose ourselves. So I love the tip that your friend gave you. He's a man after my own heart.
Actually, I did that last night in the bathroom. I've made it a regular practice now. Yeah. And you're right, you know, how many times do we get to know each other? But I was having a really deep and meaning conversation with myself.
Wonderful.
And I heard little footsteps up in the bathroom and I looked down and there was my cat, Teddy Edward, and his little face looking at me as if to say, Mum, what are you doing? Who are you talking to? Have you lost the plot more than usual?
I love that.
Now, when it comes to anxiety and stress, I mean, we've done a myriad of different discussions on this programme about breathing. We've had yoga, we've had face Pilates, we've had psychotherapists give us advice. But what would you tell us? And I'm very sorry, we can't actually do the hypnosis. We're not allowed to. But just give us an idea.
It's absolutely fine. The in actual fact, hypnosis is more like hypnotherapy. It's more like a guided meditation. It's a way in which you can just quiet down the busy conscious thoughts and get into a state of focused concentration, focused awareness, and get to to the bottom of some issues. But breathing exercises I love. I can't say I've heard of facial Pilates.
Oh, you haven't lived.
I haven't lived, have I? I'm looking into that because I could do with a lift here and there.
Well, it's all about, just very quickly as a distraction, it's about massaging the face in a certain way and getting the blood flowing to certain areas. And actually, I tried it in the studio and about 3 seconds later, I looked at myself in the mirror and I had actually physically changed. It was amazing.
So I'm getting onto that as soon as we finished. Bit of facial Pilates.
Okay, look up Laura Mancini on Facebook and she lives in Guernsey. She'll talk you through it with a number of free videos.
Wonderful. Laura Mancini, I'm on it. Okay, so sorry, we digress. So you've asked me about the breathing exercise or the hypnosis that we would have done. Is that what you asked me?
Yes. Megan? So okay. We can't actually do the hypnosis itself, but just give us an idea of what we should be doing.
So the way I work to do a quick reboot, so if anyone's feeling particularly anxious or worried or fearful in any situation, let alone in the situation, this crazy situation that we've had over the last few months, what I teach is a breathing exercise called abdominal breathing or diaphragmatic breathing. Some people call it 7-11 breathing, but it's a way in which you can trigger the vagus nerve. The vagus nerve is a cranial nerve, and that's in charge of your fight and flight, your rest and digest, or your sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. And it sounds complicated, but it's very simple. So when we're anxious or fearful, we are automatically in fight and flight, and our sympathetic nervous system's taking care of that. So it's filling us full of adrenaline and cortisol so that we're ready to fight or flee. And our muscles are tense and we're ready to protect ourselves. It's our survival mechanism. If we didn't have the fight and flight response, then we wouldn't have survived as a race. So we have that. And that's a good thing to have occasionally because it gives you a heightened state of alertness, preparedness to fend off any potential threat. Equally, when we are relaxed, when on a Sunday afternoon with your feet up in the garden or on holiday or just reading a book or relaxing, we're in what we call rest and digest, and that's your parasympathetic nervous system, which is in control, and it's filling us full of endorphins and wonderful hormones like oxytocin and dopamine and serotonin, our happy chemicals. And so as simple as it sounds, simply adjusting your breathing for a few moments will stimulate the vagus nerve and pop you straight in within a minute or so, pop you straight into the parasympathetic rest and digest mode. And it's all done with breath. So this is back, not yogis use a certain type of breathing, or Buddhists use a certain type of breathing, mantras and what have you. But even neuroscience recognizes that deep diaphragmatic breathing has a physiological response in the brain, and that's what the deep breathing does for you.
So we can practice it when we're in the car, stressed out in a traffic jam, particularly when we're having to have a difficult conversation in our social lives perhaps, or even at work.
And absolutely,
it just makes us think more clearly as well, doesn't it?
It absolutely does, because I think you'll all agree that it's impossible to be calm and anxious at exactly the same time. It's impossible to be both. It's impossible to be very sad and very happy at the same time. And so by flicking over from being stressed and anxious to being calm and relaxed, it overtakes. And because those chemicals that you're releasing, the hormones you're releasing, feel good, when it feels good, you tend to do more of it.
You've worked with all sorts of people from all walks of life. I've got my notes here. It says you've helped them to discover and embrace their true potential with the power of the subconscious mind. Gail, what's the most incredible transformation you've come across in your entire career?
Oh, my goodness. Where would I start? Do you know, perhaps I can begin and end with myself, my own transformation. I began studying, practicing and having a go at changing my own life way back in the 80s. And I tried everything and I studied everything in psychology and stress management and you name it. And so for me, I went from quite a hectic young adulthood, quite unpredictable and a little bit up and down, and to where I am today. But I work with people, with clients from all walks of life, so from age 7 to age 77 and upward, on all kinds of issues, from healing, because, of course, the body, the mind has this enormous potential that really even the top neuroscientists are, or perhaps quibble over. We really don't know much of what goes on in the subconscious mind and how much control we have. We feel as though we're, I'm going to use the word, victims of society or of our lives and what goes on around us. So I've seen wonderful transformations with patients, with people who are having surgeries, with people who have been incredibly depressed and on medication, who are no longer depressed or on medication, because it's all about getting back in control and recognizing that we're in control. And you see, habits, good or bad, are formed, they're learnt. It's something that, and when you practice long enough at something, you get good at it. Doesn't matter if it's negative or positive, you get good at it. So you practice walking as a baby, you practice talking, riding a bicycle, swimming, driving a car perhaps. Once you get to grips with it, it becomes automatic, but the same applies to negative habits.
Do you know, there's a lady here in Guernsey who's quite literally changed my life, and she's called Katie. And she might even be listening now, actually. And I haven't met her yet. I've only spoken to her on the phone during lockdown. But she was counselling my family about something. And she was asking, because I said, oh, I've always had a weight problem. And she said, do you know all weight problems go back to some sort of psychological, emotional trauma in childhood? And the minute I pinpointed the trauma of, I wasn't going to go into it, but it was a paedophile living on the estate next to me. And I'm not going to go into the details. I think you can make up your own minds. But I remember coming back as a child from school and eating about 10 Bourbon biscuits. No, a whole packet of Bourbon biscuits in one go. And from that moment on, I pinpointed my problem, either both emotionally and with food. And, you know, from the moment I told her, it was like somebody had pricked a bubble, and I'm nearly 2 stone down now. And I think when we start to delve into ourselves, I think we're too frightened of delving into ourselves to that degree, because we're scared of what we might find and whether or not we might open a Pandora's box. But
oh, goodness, you're so spot on with that. Finding out, digging down is can be unpleasant and unnerving. It can be enlightening. It can be a positive experience, or it can be a scary one. But finding our triggers, Jenny, is absolutely key. Absolutely key. And you've experienced that for yourself. Suddenly becoming aware, okay, actually it was an external event that caused me to behave, respond, react in a certain way. Now that I accept that it wasn't mine to begin with, I can let it go.
I'm now aware that I might have
healthily,
I might have, by saying that, have sparked something in someone else. So it might be quite upsetting for them right now to think, oh, that's happened to Jenny and that happened to me, and I too have an eating problem. What advice would you give that person now, insofar as they're getting to grips with that problem's concerned?
Oh, Okay, so in the first instance, or your listeners can do exactly what you've done in the mirror, for instance, and start having an inner dialogue with themselves and trying to ask themselves, where did this start? How did it happen? Going deeper than that, meditation, and even coming from a science background, that I love, meditation is key. Hypnosis is a guided meditation. Hypnosis is that daydream-like state between wake and sleep, when you're staring off into space and when you're meditating, this sort of thing. So when you meditate, you're letting your thoughts just pass through. And if you're quiet long enough, 10, 15, 20 minutes, listening to music or not, as the case may be, you'll start communicating, but pictures will pop into your mind because the subconscious mind loves visuals. That's how we remember things, with pictures and events. So you'll find these things come to you, and you might panic and just say, actually, I'm not ready to go there right now. But with time and with practice, you'll be able to get in touch with whatever trigger that may be. Now, it's not always a trigger that causes overeating. It can just be the way someone was brought up in terms of, see, my family's part Italian. We eat, we love food, we share food. And so there can be lots of reasons. But for people who have triggers, Jenny, and I'm going on and on, finding out what your trigger is by being quiet and letting the thoughts come in, acknowledging them, not being afraid, because when you're meditating, you're going to be in a safe, quiet space where it's okay to think about things and relive things and revisit things. The difference when you meditate or hypnosis, in my experience with hypnotherapy, is that you don't forget the memory so much as reframe how you feel about the memory. So
yes.
You disconnect the emotion that was attached to that memory that you had.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, just as a word of warning, if you feel that simple techniques such as those that Gail is putting forward today aren't going to do you justice, and you feel something's more deep-seated, particularly when it comes to past child abuse, that sort of thing, do go to your GP and get referred for treatment to deal with mental health issues, any underlying mental health issues. There's no shame in that. There's no stigma attached. You'd go to the doctor if you had a broken arm. So if you think you need greater help, go and seek professional counselling.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not to be afraid of that, and to have someone working with you and working through things, so where someone that you have faith in, that you trust and can confide in, is amazing, because we have so much going on in our heads, and it's nice sometimes just to hear our own thoughts, to get them out on the table, so to speak.
Gail, would you stay on the line with us? Because I know you've got a book coming out, and it's called, I like the wealth bit of this, Health, Wealth and Hypnosis, The Way to a Beautiful Life. It's going to be published at the end of this month, so Gail will tell us all about it after this. We're enjoying the conversation with Gail Mara, who's a hypnotherapist working out of Harley Street, and she's got a book coming out. Just before we talk about the book, Gail, we did a wonderful piece with Daniel White on the show yesterday about the importance of sleep, and he advocates getting red or amber glasses to cut out blue light. Have you got any tips for a good night's sleep?
Yes, I have. And my tip, you've given me so much information here today, Jen. I'm writing notes like crazy. I'm going to look into those colourful glasses. Yeah, for me, my tip would be this. If you think of your thoughts as you lie down in bed at night, if you become aware of your thoughts, remember that they act as a marinade. And they'll be marinating in those thoughts throughout the night. And so when you wake up, it's not surprising sometimes, if we go to bed with a worry, that we wake up and immediately, pop, it comes back in. So being really mindful of your thoughts as you drift off to sleep, and it doesn't matter where you take them, so long as they're away from worry or stress or fear, from negativity, just flip them. It can be anything at all, a wonderful memory, a happy memory, something funny, a joke, anything at all. They're the thoughts that you'll be marinating in all night long, and when you'll wake recharged, rebooted, re-energized, thinking positively. It's not to say that you won't necessarily slip into it during the day, but every night, make it a habit to become aware of your thoughts before you drift off.
But mentally, how do you keep your meat away from the marinade?
Well, how do you make sure that your marinade's sweet and not sour? It's simply a case of becoming aware. Just becoming aware. What am I thinking about? Oh, okay, my heart's pounding, or I've been thinking about that awful news story that I've just read on, with my blue light on my iPad. And just stopping yourself saying, no, I don't want to sleep on that thought. I want to sleep on, and just find your bliss. Find what it is that gets you from anxiety to feeling happy.
I'm thinking of my happy place now. There's a place I was in on Friday, actually, funnily enough. Anyway, moving on. It's because sometimes you do go to sleep with those thoughts and it's churning in your stomach. But what you've said is fine, but it's easier said than done.
I agree. Practice. I say to my kids, always have said, practice makes perfect. And now I just say to them, practice makes, they say perfect. Because the subconscious mind loves repetition. That's what it likes. So the more you practice at something, as I said earlier, good or bad, the more automatic it becomes. You don't have to think about it because you're just going to be playing over and over, lying down at night, playing over these worries or negativities or anxieties. So gradually over time, you become more and more aware of your thinking process. You flip it, and in time, it will become automatic. Then lying down in bed, instead of being a fearful situation or a cause for anxiety, am I going to sleep? Am I going to toss and turn? Oh, I bet I'm up all night. I bet I need the toilet all night. Instead of all of that, it's, I'm going to have a peaceful night's sleep tonight. Why? Because I choose to. I'm changing the record. I'm changing the program.
And something I said on yesterday's show, which was taught to me by a voice coach at drama school, relax your tongue, because the tongue is the last muscle in the body to relax before you go to sleep. So if you trick your body into thinking, oh, the tongue's relaxed, off I go. If you relax your tongue and your jaw before you go to sleep, you will wake up and it will be morning.
Oh, I love that. The jaw is a place where we hold on to a lot of tension. Whenever you look or see someone and they're angry or they're tense, you're going to see their teeth clench, their jaw tighten up, and yes, the tongue will be at the top of the roof of the mouth. And in my relaxation techniques, when I'm suggesting that a client goes into a deep state of hypnosis, I always suggest letting the tongue relax, letting the teeth unclench and let the tongue drop to the bottom of the mouth. Spot on.
You've written a book which is out on the 31st of July. It's called Health, Wealth and Hypnosis, The Way to a Beautiful Life. And I'm just reading the notes from your website here. It'll tell you about the art of self-hypnosis, how to reprogram your conscious mind. And we've had a flavour of that when you've talked about the marinade and going to sleep. How to connect with your inner intelligence and release your true potential now. Mm. I know a few of my mates are listening, thinking, has she even got any inner intelligence? So could you help us with that one, please? I could be Einstein and not know it.
We all have an inner intelligence, and it doesn't necessarily mean, we can go on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, that kind of general knowledge intelligence. But we have an inner intelligence. There's a universal intelligence. Is that intelligence inside us, where you can be aware of, perhaps, say for instance, being in the company of someone and you feel uncomfortable? That's your gut,
yes,
your instinct telling you something's not,
yes,
right. Equally, you can be in the company of someone who just lifts your spirit. That's the kind of inner intelligence that I refer to in my book, which, by the way, is available for pre-order now on Amazon, but the actual book itself will be in your hot little hands on the 31st of July or thereabouts. But yeah, it's connecting with that inner knowing, that kind of inner intelligence.
So what can we say about that? Because we've all had that experience, and somebody comes into the room, I was going to say studio, but I'll change it to room, and we can get an immediate feeling about that person, and it's not always that pleasant. And I have to say, I feel I'm more attuned to it than most, I think, because I'm interviewing a lot of people over the course of a week. So I think I've fine-tuned that. Yeah. And invariably, I've learned to I'm 52 now, and I've learned to trust my instinct. My instinct is not very often wrong.
Yeah. Do you think it's not very often wrong?
But why isn't it wrong? What is it about that inner intelligence that nobody said a word? You've never met the person before, but what? How can we possibly get that?
Okay. Well, I think I love your questions. They're really provoking. We are all, as I said earlier, walking, talking balls of energy, vibration, if you like, vibrational energy. Our heart beats and it's creating a vibration that pumps the blood around. When we hear, our eardrums are vibrating so that we can hear the sound and it gets transferred into words and whatever it is we hear. When we speak, we change the sound waves of the energy around us. I also liken conscious and subconscious mind to radio. So the radio frequencies, you know, when you can, not so much these days because it's all digital, but back in my day, and I'll include you in our day because we're kind of about the same age, but I'm slightly older. The old-fashioned radios where you'd have to twiddle the dial and you'd get lots of static, lots of white noise and that's your conscious thinking, busy, 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 and then finally you find the clarity of the station you're looking for. That's your subconscious mind. That's what you're looking to get in touch with. That's your inner, that's your intuition, your gut feeling, your inner intelligence.
So can we be wrong about somebody? Do you think we can make up our minds that we don't like a person or there's something wrong with a person and actually we can be wrong?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's why it's important to be open-minded. So it could be that you've picked up on some energy, because as much as we give off energy, we receive it, which is why we, you know, we can pick up on energy when someone walks into a room, or most people can. Don't forget also, they can measure the energy around us all. I mean, they used to call it an aura, didn't they, or an energy field. In fact, I still do refer to it as that. So, yeah, we can misinterpret because, say, for instance, you and I are together in a room. I've walked in. I've had some bad news, let's say. I'm going to come in with some low-frequency energy. I'm going to feel pretty blah. You pick up on that, and maybe you think I'm a low-frequency individual. Maybe my vibe's a bit low. You don't want to be in my aura. And I wouldn't blame you, but it doesn't mean that I'm a bad person or I'm a negative person. So, yeah, we've got to be aware. Not got to be. We ought to train ourselves to become aware of our inner intelligence, but also to be open-minded to say, and make a judgment based on what transpires. Obviously, if you're in clear and present danger, you'd know to get your fight and flight in gear and run for the hills. But in the main, it's about tweaking it, finely tuning it. You use that word yourself. It's about tuning in and out, but finely tuning it.
And finally, Gail, the most serious question of all, what's the first thing you do when you get home?
Do you really want to know that?
Yeah.
Whip my bra off.
Yay! Because women all over the world.
Restrictions and constrictions. I can imagine what it must have felt like back in Victorian days when they'd whip the corset off. When lockdown ended, I thought, oh my goodness, I've got to start wearing underwear. I've got to put on a pair of shoes.
And that, darling, is why so many women all over the world are furloughing their bras.
Furloughing, I love that. Furlough the bra. We're going back to the 60s now, aren't we?
Well, I said just before that, you know, there we were on New Year's Eve. Who would have thought a word like furlough would become a regular word in our vocabulary and viral load, and whether or not our borders will be open in Guernsey. Our borders are still shut. So one day when they're open, Gail Mara, you can come over and see us all in person. But for the moment, thank you very much indeed. Good luck with the publication of your book.
It's my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. Thank
you're
you,
more than welcome. Keep you in touch. Care. That's Gail Mara there, a hypnotherapist working out of Harley Street at the moment. And her book, once again, because I know we'll get calls, is called Health, Wealth and Hypnosis, The Way to a Beautiful Life. And it says here it brings scientific theory and practical instruction together in an entertaining and interactive book with anecdotes, examples and exercises explaining how you, can harness the power of your subconscious mind to bring about positive change. But I would say if you do think that we've unearthed any complex mental health issues, do go to your GP and get referred, because sometimes a little innocent conversations like this can spark all sorts of things in your mind, and I want you to get the best possible care. So don't sit on it, sort it.